Let's turn for our reading from God's Word to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6, beginning to read at verse number 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Defeat leaves a very bitter taste in the mouth. There are few lines in Auckland that could probably bear that out this morning. Maybe you go into the game, into the contest, confident of success. You believed at least you'd be able to hold your own. And then reality hit you. And the opposition you discovered was far too strong. They were well organized, they were well drilled, they were too skillful, they weren't too particular about keeping to the rules, whatever. There was only one outcome that was possible: defeat and maybe humiliation. Nobody likes to be beaten. And sometimes the Christian life can feel perhaps a bit like that. Maybe it seems to you sometimes that your Christian life is just a succession of defeats, of temptations that you don't resist, of failures that you know should never have happened. And maybe it seems that's always the way it is. A temptation comes, and maybe you resist, maybe you're able to stand against it, but you know often you don't. Maybe it's the same old temptation that has come over and over, and every time you've fallen to its attack, and you know that you should. And yet the results often are surrender, losing ground spiritually. And it does leave a bitter taste. You end up doing what you know is contrary to God's word and God's will. Why, you think, do I keep doing it? And then it's so easy to start to think maybe that's how it's always going to be. It's always going to be an uphill struggle that I'll lose again and again. And some Christians, maybe you're one of them, simply settle for that kind of life. Just one defeat after another, never really making any progress. You think, is that how it's always going to be? Is it always going to be more defeats than victories? And yet when we open the Word of God, we find something very different. And we want to think this morning for a time about battling temptation. Battling temptation. We're going to be looking particularly at Ephesians 6, but not only at that passage. And to think of something of what the Bible has to say about this war in which we find ourselves, battling temptation. What does the Word of God say? What direction and advice does the Bible give to Christians about battling temptation? The first thing we need to bear in mind, we mustn't forget this as our starting point, and that is recognize that you're in a battle. Recognize that you're in a battle. Well, maybe you think, isn't that obvious? Why do you need to say that? But of course, it's remarkable how often we need to be stating the obvious, because it doesn't seem to be obvious to a lot of people. And it seems to many Christians, or it seems as if at least, they don't really think of the Christian life as involving a battle. And if we fail, we can put it down perhaps to just it was one of those things, it was my circumstances, it was just a quirk of personality. And there doesn't seem to be an awareness that we're really in a battle. And if you listen to the way in which some would describe the Christian life, it seems that it ought always just to be sailing along smoothly, victorious living. You'll find those phrases used very often. And then you look at your own Christian life and you think, it's not like that. But it shouldn't surprise us. We are in a battle. To be a Christian is to be in the battle. You see, the Lord doesn't ask for volunteers out of his people to be the soldiers, as if some would be, but others don't have to be. If you're a Christian, you are in the battle. You don't have an option. You're there. You're in the trenches. That's where God puts you when you're converted. And we need to recognize that. Look at the language Paul uses there in Ephesians 6. We read it earlier. And he spells out the reality for us. He says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not like a worldly battle, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That is a powerful description that's given. The rulers in the heavenly realms. And that is the battle that we are called to engage in. And Paul stresses that there is a real battle, and it is against a real enemy. And we must take that into account. Here is an enemy that we have to face. We need to understand that we do have a spiritual enemy who hates God and who hates us. And that may be very difficult for us to understand. Somebody hates us. We all want to be liked, of course. Nobody wants to be disliked, much less hated. And it can be difficult for us really to realize that Satan hates God and anyone who belongs to him. He loathes us. He would destroy us if he could. Do we really realize that? That is the issue spiritually. There's an enemy who would destroy you if he could. He would lead you into any sin that he could possibly manage and would be delighted if he succeeded. And he will try to exploit any weakness that he can find in us. We're not yet made perfect. We won't be until we're in heaven. And so there are still sins remaining in us, and those give him a foothold. And he'll exploit any foothold. You ever watched mountain climbers? And you see how they find the footholds, tiny crevices that they can get a grip on to enable them to make progress. And spiritually, Satan's like that. He sees what we think are just little cracks, little crevices, not anything we worry too much about. And they're footholds where he can bring temptation to bear and he can gain an advantage. Sin still attracts us, even when we're Christians. There's still an attraction in our hearts, not yet perfected. And that draws us towards the temptations that Satan is presenting. We need to understand that. He will use any foothold he can gain. What kind of an enemy is he? Well, we have it in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. We need to take that seriously. The Bible describes him as a roaring lion. Spiritually, that is what he is, and that's the danger he poses. We need to be alert to the danger, not going along naively thinking, all is well, there is no danger. Because we're never in greater danger than when we think that. We need to take the battle with the utmost seriousness. Recognize you're in a battle. That's the first thing. That's essential. But then, to think of what we are actually to do in the light of that, secondly, keep close to the Lord. Keep close to the Lord. You might think when we talk about the spiritual battle, what I will do is talk a lot about Satan and how he attacks us and what his strength is and all of that. We'll come to that. But we need to start in the right place. And the right place is not in thinking about the enemy actually at all. To start in the right place is to keep our focus on the Lord. Not the enemy, but the Lord that we are serving. Because it's in him that we have the resources that we need. Everything we require for the battle is there in the Lord. And it's too easy. And I think there are some books about Christian warfare that fall into that. It's too easy to focus on the devil and what he can do and what his power is and what his influence is. And very easily that ends up discouraging us. We'll think about the enemy in a minute, but we'll start with the all-powerful God that we are serving. If you like, the general in whose army we are fighting. We need to keep our focus on the Lord and on the resources that he gives us for the battle. You see, it's not enough for us as Christians simply to follow the path of trying to avoid temptation. There's a place for that. Again, we'll think about it. But the negative isn't enough. That won't really protect us if we're just trying to avoid temptation. We need far more than that. And we need to take positive steps that will equip us for the battle that we are in. And first and foremost, what we as Christians need to be doing is keeping close to the Lord. Because that's the place of safety. That's the place of security. And if you do that, that will protect you from all kinds of attacks by the enemy. Even if we don't understand some of what Satan's doing, if we don't really understand the enemy too well, if we keep close to the Lord, there's the place of safety. And that is fundamental. We must not neglect this. If you don't keep close to the Lord, you are really in danger. And do not be surprised if you have all kinds of spiritual problems. You will, if you don't keep close to the Lord. And two things about keeping close to the Lord that I want to underline. First is this. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. And that's crucial. Note that Paul here in Ephesians 6 says, be strong in the Lord, verse 10. In the Lord. Probably Paul's favorite expression in all his letters. In the Lord. If you are truly a Christian, if you are saved, you are in the Lord. You're united to the Lord Jesus Christ. You died to your old life in Christ. You died with him. Sin will not be your master anymore. And you've been raised to a new life in Christ. You're united to him in his resurrection as well. You're in the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? To think of us as Christian people in the Lord. We died with Christ. We're risen with Christ. We're united to him. And so now we are living a new life as the people of God. As the children of God. That's how we're described in 1 John 3. We are children of God. That is who you are. Remember that. You're a child of God. You belong to him. You're in the Lord. And if that is the case, then, as Paul says in Romans 6:14, sin will not be your master. Oh, you may fall from time to time, no doubt. But sin will never again be the dominating power in your life. That's a promise in Romans 6:14. Sin will not be your master. And when we are battling temptation, we need to remind ourselves of that. Who am I in this battle? I'm in the Lord. I'm a child of God. I belong to him. Those are facts you need to keep telling yourself when you're struggling with temptation, when you're getting things very tight. Who am I? I'm in the Lord. I'm a child of God. The dominion of sin has been broken. Why then would you give in to temptation? Why would you give in to a defeated enemy? Because that's what the devil is. Christ crushed his head at Calvary. He's defeated. Why would you give in to his temptations and his attacks? Very interesting expression in Nehemiah. When Nehemiah was being tempted, encouraged to come down and negotiate with the enemy, Nehemiah's response was, "Should a man such as I go down?" And in the battle with temptation, we should be saying, "Should a man, should a woman such as I am in the Lord go down?" Absolutely not. Remember who you are. Remember some of the great descriptions of the Christian. 1 Corinthians 6:19, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Remember who you are. Why would you give in to a defeated enemy? Remember who you are. And the second thing, as we think of keeping close to the Lord, is simply this: use God's means of grace. Use God's means of grace. He's given you all you need. There in Ephesians 6, we read the dramatic language of Paul about the armor of God. Put it on. Helmet of salvation. Breastplate of truth. And those are simply very dramatic ways of describing the means God gives you to stand up in the battle. We call them means of grace. Ways in which God gives you grace for the fight. And we can think of the means of grace in this way. We can think, first of all, of God's word. That's the basic means of grace he gives us. If you're going to battle temptation, you need to be feeding on God's word regularly. Not just now and again, not just a verse in the morning, as if that were enough. We need to be feeding on God's word. It's the sword of the Spirit, Paul says. It is the offensive weapon that we've got for the battle. What did Jesus do when he was tempted? He came back at the devil. It is written. He'd read his Bible. He'd learned his Bible. And so he could answer the temptations. We have the word of God. We've prayer. Are we praying people? Are we really seriously praying people? Were the prayer meetings some of the smallest meetings in every congregation? God's given us prayer to talk to him, to keep our relationship with him good. If you don't talk to somebody, you'll have no relationship with them that's worth speaking of. If we don't talk to God alone, together with his people, our relationship with the Lord's going to be weak. And we're going to be weak and vulnerable in the battle. Prayer is essential. Do you see how often Paul, the great Paul the Apostle, asks for prayer? And how often he was praying again and again in his letters. He talks about praying for the churches. And he asks them here in Ephesians 6, pray for me. Pray I'll know how to preach. Prayer is essential. Little praying, little strength. It's a simple fact. We've God's word, we've prayer, we've the sacraments. Maybe we don't think of them as we should. What about baptism? Well, maybe for us baptism was long ago. You don't think about it. But in baptism, God put his mark on you as one of his. And it's tremendously encouraging to remember in baptism, God said, you are mine. It's part of remembering who you are, of course. I've talked to Christians for whom their baptism really was a strength to them later in life. It's not just a distant memory, maybe not even a memory. And of course, the Lord's Supper is food for our souls, to build us up in holiness. We mustn't neglect it. We've the word, we've prayer, we've the sacraments, we've fellowship. As we meet as a worshiping congregation, we meet in smaller groups, we meet maybe one-to-one in all kinds of ways to build each other up. Do you notice in Ephesians 6, the commands are plural. Now, often we read them as singular, it's just me and the Lord. But no, they're plural. It's to the whole body of his people that Paul is giving these exhortations. And the Christian life isn't a solitary life. If you're a solitary Christian, you are in danger. You are in serious danger. We need each other. We're to use the means of grace with the help of the Holy Spirit. It's not that these are things we do by ourselves. We need the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And as we use them faithfully, we read the word, we pray, we sit at the Lord's table, we meet for fellowship, then we're strengthened. We use God's means of grace, and that keeps us close to the Lord. All of that is vital. There's our equipment for the battle. Keep close to the Lord. Remember who you are. Use God's means of grace. So recognize that you're in a battle. Keep close to the Lord. And then the last thing I've called learn to discern. Learn to discern. From Scripture and from our own experience in the Christian life, we need to get to know our enemy. That's always important for troops going into battle, to know the enemy as well as they can. In that way, it's less likely he'll take you unawares. How do we learn to discern? Well, we need first to understand the enemy's methods. Get to know, as you read your Bible, as you live your Christian life, how Satan attacks. He doesn't usually come openly, of course. If he comes to you openly, you see him coming. He's not going to tempt you to rob a bank. At least I think it's fairly unlikely he will. That's obvious. You're not a temptation at all. But he'll come in ways that really are a temptation. He's a deceiver, of course. And Paul writes here about the devil's schemes. There's a covert kind of war that the devil engages in. He'll not come to you openly. He'll come subtly. He maybe come through friends. He'll come in ways you didn't expect. And he will try and deceive you that evil is good. That's what he did in Eden after all. Did God really say that? Ach, no. How unreasonable. And after all the years that Satan has been active against God's people, he's used most of the plans by now. He's not going to come up with something original. And so we can learn from Scripture the patterns that he will use, particularly as he spots your weaknesses, because we have different weaknesses. Maybe you have a weakness in the area of envy or anger or lust or greed or anxiety. There are all kinds of ways in which, as different people, we are open in different ways to the devil's attacks. And so we need to understand the patterns he uses. One of the ones he uses, maybe more often than any, is to come to the Christian and say, "How can you be a Christian when you did that? When you said that, how can you be a Christian?" And he uses it, and he uses it, and he keeps using it because it keeps working. Like the scams you get in the email, you think, why does anybody fall for that? But they must, because they keep doing it. Why does Satan keep coming to Christians saying, "How can you be a Christian?" It's because we keep falling for it. And it's worth its while to keep doing that. It works. And there are other patterns as well. We need to be like Paul, 1 Corinthians 2:11. We are not unaware of his schemes. We need to understand the enemy's methods. We need also, secondly, to know our weaknesses. And I've touched on this, but it's worth underlining, know your weaknesses. Now, Satan can tempt us at any point. And there are times that he will surprise you by the point at which he attacks and maybe the point at which you fall. But there are particular weaknesses, because still we have a lot of growing in grace to do. And we've mentioned some of those points: greed, anger, lust, dishonesty. And you can add to the list from your own experience, your knowledge of your own heart. And if we know our weaknesses and we ask the Lord to show us our weaknesses, even though it's uncomfortable and maybe you don't want to face them, you need to know them. Because then you'll be better able to guard against those points of attack. And the devil will come. And the Bible will help us to see our weaknesses and to understand how Satan can really bring the attack home. We sang from Psalm 139. Why did we do that? "Lord, you've searched me and known me." It's because he knows our weaknesses as well as our strengths. And he's able to show us where we're vulnerable. And so Satan will not be able to get the footholds that he might otherwise gain. And you think, well, you read this book, it's 2,000 and more years old. But the methods that the devil uses are still the same. And we may live in a very different culture from the Bible, a culture with our iPads, our smartphones, or Snapchat, or whatever it may be. And I think it's so different, but it isn't. Because often those means of technology have just given Satan new opportunities to use the old plans again. New ways to bring the temptation right into your own hands that earlier generations didn't have. And one of the dangers, of course, of social media and our contemporary electronic culture is you can't get away from contact unless you're very, very determined. And the devil can reach you perhaps in places that he couldn't reach those of us who are older and didn't have to deal with some of those issues. Know your weaknesses. Keep asking God to show them to you. Even if it's very uncomfortable, you need to know. Understand the enemy's methods. Know your weaknesses. A very simple one is avoid danger. But we thought about this in our last study when we thought about faith under pressure. But it's worth mentioning again, avoid danger. Only an idiot sees how close to the edge of the cliff he can walk. And yet there are people who do it. Only a very foolish Christian sees how close they can get to temptation without falling over. But they do it. Maybe you've done it. If there are places that you know will present temptations, if there's company, friends that you know will present temptations that may lead you into sin, if there are media that you know will offer temptations and things you hear, things you see, don't go there. Don't go there. And if you do, don't be surprised if you fall. What did Joseph do when Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce him? He didn't start a theological discussion about fidelity. He ran. He got out of the house. There are times as Christians we need to be running. What does Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5? If your eye offends you, what do? Get dark glasses? Gouge it out, he said. Gouge it out. That's strong language. If your right hand offends you, he says, cut it off. That's tough. The Lord never said being a Christian was easy. Can't imagine why some Christians think it should be. The Lord never said it would be. Gouge out the eye that's dangerous. Cut off the hand that can tempt. Avoid the danger. If you know there's a place of danger, if you know there are people who present danger, if you know there are activities that present temptations, avoid them. It may be hard, it may be costly. It has to be done. Understand the enemy's methods. Know your weaknesses. Avoid danger. And one last word. Rest in Christ. Rest in Christ. Because we need to end on that note of assurance. We talked about the battle and it's hard and the dangers and what we need to be doing. But here's the encouragement. If you're a Christian, rest in Christ. Because Satan is a defeated enemy. The prophecy in Genesis 3:15, that the head of the serpent would be crushed, and it has been. The cross and the empty tomb, our Savior is victorious. We are not in a battle where we're unsure about the outcome. We know the result. And we know the result will be victory for the Lord and for those who are in the Lord. And if you are resting in Christ, if we're back to keeping close to him, if that is where you are, you're secure. And you have all the resources you need to battle temptation. We never need giving. We do. And it's to our shame that we do. We never need to. Rest in Christ, and you're safe, you're secure, and you'll share in his victory. Defeat does leave a bitter taste. We've tasted, all of us, I'm sure, more of it than we'd ever want to. But it doesn't have to be that way. We have the resources. If we keep close to the Lord, we're safe. And we understand how the enemy attacks. We're relying on God's power, God's wisdom. We're safe. And we rest in the Lord, and he'll never let us go. We're not doomed to constant defeats. In Christ, we have the resources. We have the victory. And we need to live in the light of that victory day by day. We can battle temptation in the Lord's strength, victoriously.